Welcome to the inaugural episode of Lion Bites the Podcast. We are your hosts, Danielle Biter, the Public Relations Specialist for the Lockport City School District, and
Bridget Licata, Communications Specialist for Lockport City School District.
The two of us have our fingers on the pulse of the district. We are in all of the buildings. We are in contact with all of the principals. We are in touch with all of the teachers. And we are the people who gather the information and disseminate it to all of our parents, community members, even internally amongst our staff.
Yeah, we're behind the website. We're behind social media. We're behind the scenes on almost everything that you probably read about the district. We wanted to really take a breath this year and get creative. We were looking for something to do that was outside of the box, something that would give parents, community members, grandparents, the option to really find out what's going on behind the scenes or maybe day-to-day life of people who work and go to school here. We came up with the podcast idea, and here it is.
Well, I love that the podcast idea is an extension of Lion Bites, the newsletter that you created. So we're taking stories, some of the stories you can find in Lion Bites, the newsletter, and we are diving in deeper, inviting guests to the show who are involved in those stories and giving a closer look, further details that don't always fit inside of a newsletter, and creating bigger stories about them.
But also, maybe it's a story that's better told by someone else or the source.
I love that. That's exactly the reason why we're doing this. This is a great way to stay informed and also kind of have fun along the way.
So sit back, relax, and let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to Kelvin's Corner. Today we're going to be talking about school safety and security, and I am here with Mr. Mike Stover, who is our district coordinator of school safety. It's his third year in this position, and he's been involved with the district for many years in various capacities. We are also here with Julie Snyder, who is one of two school resource officers within the district, and she is stationed at Aaron Mossel Junior High. And happy one-year anniversary to you, Julie. She's been here for exactly 1 year with us. We also have Principal Dr. Kathleen Bailey, also from Aaron Mossel Junior High, who's been with us since May of 2024. And everybody's favorite superintendent, Dr. Mathis Kelvin III, who has been with us for almost 2 years. And we're going to be talking about school safety and what that means for our district. So let's kick things off. Dr. Kelvin, this is a question for you. Can you give us an overview about school safety and security and the measures we have in place to uphold security as a priority?
So let me just start by saying that safety is really important to us. There's nothing more important than ensuring the health and safety of all of our students and all of our staff, really our entire learning community. And as we kind of think about safety, we think about it in multiple domains. So first of all, there's an educational component. Then there's building access. And then there's the work that we do with our school monitors, safety monitors, as well as our SRO officers that we have in our buildings. So just in terms of the educational portion, we have in our schools, we teach our kids, you know, different strategies that they can utilize so that they can maintain, along with us, in partnership with us, a safe environment. We also have a full-scale SEL group of staff that are in every one of our buildings, which include counselors, social workers, mental health workers, instructors, and educators who are all in and working with our students each and every day on social and emotional learning and how to identify when maybe they're in the midst of an unsafe situation and report it. And also just maintain their own health and safety. So, there's an SEL team. In terms of building access, when we think about safety, there are a number of things that we put into place in terms of our infrastructure, right? And that starts in our parking lots, to our doors, even to all of our classrooms, and even the building access. Before people can come into our buildings, everybody has to go through a Raptor check. We ask for their license, and they, you know, there's a quick scan to get a very quick background on the individuals who are coming into our schools. And then, you know, once they've passed that process, then they can, you know, have access to, you know, certain areas, identified areas in our school where they can either meet classroom teacher or the principal or an administrator, you know, someone that they're coming to visit in schools. Aside from that, in all of our schools, we have staff members who are a part of our team, and they are safety monitors. Pretty much every one of our safety monitors are retired police officers who are in and working with our students, building relationships, and also helping us to monitor the safety of our schools. And they work in partnership with our school resource officers. We have two of them from the City of Lockport Police Department. And together, under really the guidance of our, you know, security coordinator, Mr. Stover here, we just work together to make sure that we keep our school safe. There's multiple layers that we work on. And aside from those day-to-day things, I mean, we also, you know, we have safety measures in place in terms of our internet usage. We know that a lot of issues sometimes start online, and so we have a whole infrastructure mm-hmm. that's in place to just help us with monitoring what kids are doing online in our schools and what's happening, you know, that may involve kids and the World Wide Web.
I'm going to throw the next question over to Officer Snyder. Can you tell us how the Lockport Police Department collaborates with the Lockport City School District on a day-to-day basis?
On a daily basis, myself and Officer O'Connor will come in. I know myself, I come in and check the police reports that the City of Lockport takes overnight or over the weekend. This is done in an attempt to see what's going on in the city, especially with our kids, so that potentially if something happens in their lives, if there's possibly an issue that they might bring in with another student, mm-hmm. I can give administration guidance, a bit of a heads up before the students come in for the day. If there's some other measures that need to be put in place, whether it be maybe a walking plan for some kids that might have had an issue outside of school, or if there might be a check-in by a guidance counselor or the school social worker, mm-hmm. If there might have been maybe a domestic violence report reported in the home, we try and get that accomplished right off the bat before our day picks up, gets busy.
Okay. So you're coming in and you're doing research is what you're doing. You're doing correct. Your homework as we're, soon as you walk
doing,
into the door.
We're doing homework the moment we walk through the door. We're trying to get some sort of background on what the kids went through
sure.
overnight, over the weekend, maybe over the break,
mm-hmm.
just so that we know what the kids are bringing in with them more than just their backpacks.
Sure.
What emotionally they're bringing in to see if they're going to have maybe whether they'll be on their game or maybe a little mm-hmm. bit off their game and why. And then at that point, if it's not something that we are necessarily capable of taking care of, mm-hmm. we'll then reach out to whoever that person is because we are a multidisciplined team.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work very closely with guidance, very closely with social workers mm-hmm. and admin. And I have conversations constantly with our guidance department and our school social workers
mm-hmm.
About our kids, just seeing how a kid is doing in the day. If I see them in the hallway, if they seem a little off or down, it's a constant conversation
mm-hmm.
That we have with all the staff in the building.
Okay. And to our listeners, because you can't see us because it's a podcast, I see Dr. Bailey is shaking her head in agreement with Officer Snyder. Dr. Bailey, can you talk a little bit about how this supplemental information has helped you in your position and how it's helped your students?
Yes, absolutely. It's helped us be more proactive. As Officer Snyder said, we're able to approach students and hopefully nip it in the bud is what I call
mm-hmm.
it, and address any issues immediately. And sometimes we find out additional information that we can go into, or perhaps find out that others are involved that weren't necessarily a part of a police report
mm-hmm.
or a part of whatever information that Officer Snyder got received. So it's really a holistic approach where we're all working together as a team to make sure if there is an issue that's arisen, we can address it together or find the best person to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're also very much about relationship building, as Officer Snyder already said, and finding the person that that student best connects with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes is it's not up to position. It's up to who the student best connects with sometimes.
Sure.
It's not always the person who's assigned to that student or who is there first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It might be someone else that the student has made that special connection with.
Mm-hmm. So you said one thing that stuck out to me, and that was building relationships with the students. And that is making me think of Mr. Stover over here, who did serve in the role as a SRO for the district. Mike, can you tell me a little bit about building relationships with students and how you and maybe the other SROs have gone about that?
Yeah. When I first started in law enforcement 25, 30 years ago, SROs were not really part of the district here. And then probably about 15, 20 years ago, we had our first school resource officer up here. And then toward the end of my career, I became the school resource officer up here at the high school. And my main objective was building those relationships with the kids. You know, not every law enforcement officer is out there to look to place handcuffs on anybody at that point. Say, hey, put the trust in us. And sure enough, it's for real. It happens. Kid, you may not notice it right off the bat, but kids really connect with you. And so it's key because a lot of information we get happens before an incident is readily available through kids talking with us, coming into our office and whatnot, building that relationship. And Officer Snyder, I have an issue with this child or this other student. What can you do for me? So it's key, and it goes on outside of work as well when you run into former students and
sure.
stuff like that. So it's huge to build those relationships, and like Dr. Bailey said, it may not be always Officer Snyder. It may not be Dr. Kelvin. It may be a counselor. It may be a teacher that a student connects with, and you got to find that connection, and then from there, build the relationship up, and then use your strategies to connect with that student and what works best for that student. So it's huge. And, I think Julie and Justin have done a great job in the district building those relationships. And they're called out a lot. And I know mm-hmm. that because we got kind of a bat phone together. We,
sure.
We call each other all the time because of my prior role yep. and my new role now. So we're always bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah. Justin has a great rapport with the kids. He can't be here today, mm-hmm. but he literally every single kid that walks past him is constantly like,
I've seen it.
Shaking hands, doing it like.
And the staff too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He's fantastic talking to all the kids. I have my door open all the time. It's like a secret win when, a kid pops in and like, they're sitting down and they're like kibitzing with me because it just means that they're that much more comfortable with
sure.
me. So. If I can be in the hallway, I'm trying to give them a smile, just trying to make some sort of contact connection with them as they're walking past.
Dr. Bailey, if Julie approaches you with a student who just doesn't seem like themselves, maybe it's not the first time they haven't seen themselves, what are the steps that we're taking with that student?
Well, it does depend on the student, mm-hmm. On the student's past history,
mm-hmm.
Also the current state the student's in. If the student has any potential triggers that could get them upset in any way. Also, the involvement of the student's family, if the student's working with any outside resources. So typically it would be mainly trying to find out what is going on with the student
mm-hmm.
in behavioral science, we call it, to finding the antecedent of the issue,
okay.
really finding that root cause of what has caused the student to be in the state that they're in. Or needing help or support.
Mm-hmm.
And what you often find with at least junior high school students is that sometimes what people initially think is the cause, once you dig deeper through conversation and your knowledge of the student, often something else manifests
sure.
as the real cause. And what we also find with junior high school students specifically is that often that cause may seem superficial or not really important to an adult. But for a child that age, it can have a multiplier effect.
Absolutely.
And actually, what we see as a small issue could actually be a very large issue for a student.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times, it's a very serious issue that where we do have to bring in other specialists potentially or take additional actions. So, again, it all depends on the situation, depends on the student. We typically get our guidance department involved right away because they have specific training for how to talk with students in specific areas. But again, as I said, it sometimes depends on who they have that close relationship with, and try to gather as much information as possible to determine what needs the student might have. I mean, in our heads, we always have a kind of list of potential resources we can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from calling Mr. Stover and the superintendent potentially, or other departments in the district, sometimes calling other schools, sometimes calling families.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes students are working with outside organizations and resources that will also come to the table and come together as a team. So it's looking at what the issue is, looking at the potential resources, mm-hmm. and trying to make the best fit or match with what the student needs at that time.
So I want to steer the conversation over to threats, and let's talk about what that looks like for our district, for our students, and even for our community. What does a threat look like within our district? What does it mean to have made a threat?
So threats come in varieties of different ways, right? So it's when a student or someone external of our school system, they can make a verbal set of comments, or it can be a nonverbal group of comments that maybe it may have been written down. It could be something that's written on the internet or on through text or, you know, messaging. But it's when someone makes some type of comment or some, type of statement that indicates that they may intend to do harm to members of our learning community or even to themselves, you know. And so when we see or hear those things, we have a system that we have in place to respond to.
Okay. What's the system?
So I think the first thing that we do is once we, hear of a concern or threat, first thing we want to do is make sure we assess, right? And so we want to make sure we have all the information. Once we have the information that's involved, our goal is to investigate, right? So we receive the information, we go out and investigate it. And then as a part of that investigation, we may be talking to that student, other students who may be involved, adults who may be involved. We may be visiting homes. We do visit homes. We do check to see if there are any weapons in homes or what's also occurring in the home. And then all of that, once we gather all the details and the information from that, then we determine whether or not the threat was valid or not valid. Was it, something that someone was intending to act upon or mm-hmm. not, basically. And then once all that information is back to us, we then share with the public whether the threat was credible or non-credible. We say credible, that there was some true intention to do harm or there was a plan. Non-credible, that was not the case at all, basically.
But we still want to inform our school communities when a non-credible threat happens.
Right. Any time that we hear of a threat, we feel that it's important to let parents know, right? So I'm a parent. Many of us around the table are parents. And especially in the day and times that we live in, right, we don't want any parent to ever hear secondhand of a possible threat or something that's out there that may involve the health and safety of
them. Absolutely.
So we feel it's important to be transparent, to be upfront, and we share with our public, right, when we've heard of a threat, whether it's credible or non-credible, we get information out to our parents as soon and as quick as we possibly can. Now,
Julie, can you tell me what it looks like going through the process of investigating a threat from your point of view as the school resource officer?
Yes. When the administration comes to me and tells me that there has been some statement of violence or gesture of violence, something along those lines, I then go with security if I'm in the building. Otherwise, if I am not, security, oftentimes with Security Director Stover, we'll go and escort the student so that we can just ensure that there's not an immediate threat mm-hmm. in the school. That's our, as law enforcement and security, that is our first and foremost concern when we do hear a statement of that nature. The other further actions when it comes to the school safety, we can then slow things down. We can get students' statements, We just have to make sure that there's no direct threat at that very moment. After the student's brought down, we'll get students their statements. We'll get staff statements if staff overheard it. Just gather up any and all type of evidence.
More research.
Do all the time. My laptops are, both laptops are going like 6-7 hours out of my 8-hour shift.
Lots of tabs open.
We then get our, they call it the multidisciplinary team. We bring in administration. We have often myself, guidance counselors, social workers, a good amount of staff to have every aspect represented for the benefit of the student, just every aspect that we can think of. We get through to the root of why that student made that statement. It could be something going on at home, something going on in school. Are they having a particular problem with a student? We just want to get to the root of why the statement was made. Do they show any remorse as to why they made the statement or gesture? And then we get to, is there an, the portion of the credibility? Are there weapons in the home? Any type of other, if it's involving any type of explosives? Are there any type of explosive making devices or anything along those lines? Is that in the home? And then once we've come full circle with the investigation, if there's a mental health portion, we will, if need be, bring in school psychologist, possibly crisis services if need be. And then from there, Justin and I will probably come out and do a home visit as well, to further put eyes on the actual home and make sure that there's no obvious visible safety concerns in the home. And then that's where then I make the phone calls to Dr. Kelvin to let him know that we've completed the investigation on our end. Then the letter can go out to the parents one way or another at that time.
Okay. This is not a Lockport issue. It is not unique to Western New York. This is a national crisis that we're facing, and this is Lockport's response to handling that crisis and trying to not only take care of the present threats that we have, but also trying to be proactive and trying to fix the problem that's out there in our communities right now.
You're right. So, you know, sometimes we'll hear from folks and they'll say things like, you know, what's going on in Lockport? I have to tell you, you know, I sit in the room at least once a month with my colleagues throughout the entire region. And this is, you're right, it's not just a Lockport issue that we're dealing with. It's an issue that's happening in the region, throughout the state, going on all over, you know, the United States of America, that, you know, from time to time, there are threats. And we're working through them and doing everything that we can to make sure, again, that the health and safety of our staff, our students, that it's secure. I also wanted to make sure I mentioned one thing. If you notice, as Officer Snyder was talking, Dr. Bailey and Mr. Stover, you know, you hear each of their different perspectives and their takes on what's happening. This work can't be done in isolation, right? Everybody has to work together as a team.
What can our parents talk to our children about threats? What kind of language should they be using or avoid? How can our parents help solve this national crisis that we're facing?
Well, what I've learned at some of the seminars that I went through is it's age-appropriate conversation, correct?
Sure.
So, and I use that same thing with the teachers, K-4. How do I talk to them? Don't tell them the why, because at that age, they don't understand the why. And,
right.
And this is probably Dr. Bailey's forte. So it's all based on age. And I'll let Dr. Bailey take over there, because I know that she's well-equipped to handle that conversation.
It is definitely based on age. I would say at our level, the junior high school level, there are two major components or areas that we like to emphasize with parents. One is making sure that students have someone they can talk to that they trust. If they see anything out of place or something is making them feel uncomfortable or a statement they heard really bothers them, it's really important for them to share that information with their parent or with school officials or a teacher or a trusted adult within the school. Social media, unfortunately, there are a lot of things that people post and they're able to do so behind anonymity. You know, they're able to stay anonymous when they post it. So sometimes students will make the mistake of posting things that they think will not be traced back to them and that they would never say in real life. Sweet, wonderful, caring students. But in that world of social media, sometimes students will act out in different ways with that anonymous mask, I guess you could say, based on things that they've seen in the media or on television or in video games, things they would never never follow through with or never intend to do. So it's really important whenever they hear or see anything that they tell a trusted adult, whether it's a parent or someone at school. And that also builds on the other area that we work with our students on, is really being cognizant and really thinking deeply about what they say. Even talking about a video game could be misconstrued as them making a threat towards people in the school. So it's very, very important for students to learn that even if you make the smallest thing that could be perceived as a threat, whether you intend it or not, you have to think about the potential impact of your words or actions, and that there are very specific steps we have to take if we hear or see certain things, which Officer Snyder and Mr. Stover described in detail. Even if you're talking about a video game, we have to take certain steps because we can never just say, just blow it off and say, oh, they're probably just talking about a video game. And we have to take it at face value. If the words come out or certain actions happen, we have to take certain actions.
I tell every parent I come into contact with, please be proactive at looking at what your children are looking into. Whether as soon as they can pick up a cell phone, they can get into things that they shouldn't be getting into. We have resources at the police department. Officer O'Connor and I have resources at the school. We have, there's programs out there. There's through the FBI, through Homeland Security, different resources and booklets out there that can help you put some parent controls on your child's tablets, cell phones, computers, whatnot, for you to even look through all the different social medias. Just because if you're not as tech savvy as your child, there's different resources for that. You need to be actively going through and seeing what your children are exposed to. That's a big issue because a lot of parents have no idea what their kids are getting into, what they're saying to other friends or other people on Snapchat and such. They have no idea how they're speaking to other people. And then they're wondering why there's issues at school. And it's very, very pressing to have that grasp and have that conversation with your child constantly, consistently, age appropriate, about all matters. You know, you would do it for stranger danger in person. Better do it stranger danger on the internet.
The one thing I would say, like, to go back to your question, like, hey, what should parents talk to their kids about? I would say, and I've had parents ask this question before, be as transparent and as authentic as you can with your kids. Right. I think we have to say to our children, here's what is an example of a threat. Right. When you go to school and you say, I'm going to harm you in these ways, or I'm going to go and do this to the school, or I'm going to just be blunt right now. When you say things like, you know, I'm going to shoot someone, or I'm going to blow up someone, or I'm going to harm or, you know, cause bodily harm, almost like death. Those things are considered to be threats. Sometimes, especially with our younger students, we see that kids may be having just a casual conversation and they may make comments such as that and think, I'm just having fun with somebody. And they don't understand that that is considered to be a threat. So what I would say to parents is, you know, have those blunt conversations with your children to say, hey, this is considered to be a threat. And then you may even want to do some role play with your child and just kind of, you know, give them some examples of, hey, this would be considered to be a threat. If you say you're going to do this to the school or this, you're going to do that to this particular group of people. And even like Officer Snyder was saying, hey, you know, your kids are on the internet. If you write this on the internet, this is considered to be a threat. The more authentic and transparent and the more role-playing you can do with your kids, I think that would really help. And especially with our younger kids, you know, it used to be that we didn't have to, you know, worry as much as we do today. But now we know that even younger kids, some of them may make threats, and some, unfortunately, across the nation have made good on those threats. So everything that your children, our children are saying, we have to take it very seriously, very important. And so I would start as young as kindergarten up, right? Really preschool up, and have those conversations and explain to them, hey, this is not something you should. And I would also talk to them a little bit about, hey, we have a code of conduct in our schools. Now, you have to break that down a little bit for the younger kids. But we have to explain to them that there are certain things that you just can't do in schools. There are certain ways that you are expected to behave. And when you don't behave in those ways or you do the opposite, there are consequences to our actions. And there are responses that we have to take, right, to make sure, again, I'm going to go back to that same phrase, to ensure the health and safety of the school system, the school district. There are certain things that we've got to do, like threat assessment, when we hear certain things. Other thing, too, I think that parents definitely should do as well is as you're talking with your children, help them to also understand the importance of, if you hear something that seems or sounds unsafe, you hear anything that makes you concerned in any way, right? So you hear something, say something, right? Talk to your kids about, you know, if somebody's threatening harm to you or anybody else, you know, this is how you, you know, can go and share it with somebody else, report it, right? I would encourage parents to talk that through. Who do you trust in school, right? Who's an adult that you feel like you can go and talk to if something like that happens? If there's nobody at school, then I want you to come back and talk to me as your parent, right? And then parents, we need you to help us too. If you hear something, it just doesn't seem right, give us a call and we will start the work to make sure right away we'll respond as soon as we hear from you.
That's great information. And yeah. As one of the social media managers of this district, I would also like to say that if you see something online, instead of reposting it, you need
important.
To be contacting your child's school so that it doesn't get further traction.
Right. Sometimes, you know, people want to repost it. That doesn't help us all the time. Sometimes it creates more chaos and concern. And we're very concerned, right? We're going to take it seriously. Give it to us. Share it with us. Call the principal. Call the SRO officer or our security folks. Let us know. We would rather that you do that than repost it and put it back out there again.
Yeah.
Reshare. I guess I would end by saying we've got a great team who really is focused on health and safety, right? All of these people here and all the others who are working with us, our goal is to make sure everybody stays safe. And we're committed to that work. And please, we want our parents and our staff to know that we're going to be as transparent as we possibly can with everything that we're doing. And we will let parents know. If there's a threat, I can assure you we're going to let you know, right? And there are some folks also, I would end with, there's some people who want to know everything that happened with a particular student who may be involved in threat. There are certain things we can't tell you, but what we can tell you, we will let you know as quick and as soon as we can.
That wraps up this episode of Kelvin's Corner. Today, we tackled a really important topic, school threats and how LCSD works to address and communicate them. It's a lot to take in, but we hope this discussion gave you some clarity and, most importantly, a peace of mind. We also want to remind you that communication is key. Whether it's through mass alerts, direct updates, or resources available on our website, we are committed to keeping families informed every step of the way. And as always, if you have questions, concerns, or even suggestions, don't hesitate to reach out. Keeping our community safe is a team effort, and your partnership is an essential part of that.
That's a wrap on the very first episode of Lion Bites, the podcast. Shout out to Danielle for the name of the podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Remember, we all belong here. Catch you next time. Stay connected.
Stay strong. And stay lions.
Wow.